American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, July 15th, 2005. Friday means that the week is just about over. And let me tell you what a week it has been. Hey, this week's just been absolutely crazy. Even for me doing this show, man, it's been a few days there where, I mean, you know, I've had to really push to get the show out there, try to keep the energy levels up. And I kind of bet that a lot of other people have had that sort of feeling, too. I used to think it was just diet and stuff like that, but now I'm beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, we as bioelectrical beings are all tied into the magnetics of the planet. So next time you have a bad day or a rough week, try to check how many other people have had a bad day and a rough week, and I bet you will find that there's a number of people who've experienced the same sort of thing as you have, and that is why I think all of you may have had the same sort of idea, because we're all kind of on the same wavelength. And what wavelength is that? The wavelength is Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and sitting there, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast anyway. Any way you want to, you can distribute this broadcast, so just make it up and do it. And you're free to do that any way you see fit. I have got a virtual ocean. I have got gigs of email on the feedback here. So let's get straight into the feedback and see what we can have sorted out without me having to drool all over my microphone. Right off the top, I'd like to give a big thank you shout out to Zizix for all of his groovy stuff he's after sending me. He sent me this big love package that had a really killer motorcycle in it, like a full-size motorbike. No, actually, it's wooden. It's a wooden carved motorcycle. It's an amazing thing. And Zizix, I guess, is from Thailand. So very, very cool. Sent me a bunch of Thai medicines and stuff like that, and some killer chicory Louisiana coffee, because I guess he must be over here in the United States or over in North America at some place. I don't really know. Presents show up. I open them. People send me cans of goods, and I drink it. You know, what the hell? I trust the listeners. If they're going to kill me, well, I guess they're going to kill me. But in any case, before we... So, big one. Thanks, Zizix. Thank you so much for sending me that stuff. You rock sore my sock sore. On to other feedback. Oi, hi, mate. I put up a link for the Daily from the Daily Mail in the UK that reported on Scientologists who have set up a support network at all the bomb sites in London targeting, the paper words, distressed people. Groups of 12 people, 150 people strong in all. Remind you of the 9/11 hotline much? The pics are a little blurry but readable. The credit going to Cookie for pointing out the paper article. All the best, Druid Y. Simmeru. Now, he sent me some scans of some stuff that was put in the local paper because I haven't put it online. But apparently, the evil, wicked cult of Scientology, those lovely, lovely people, have decided that in order to capitalize on this fucking horrific tragedy which has happened in England, they're going to put in ads in the paper saying, are you distressed by the bombs going off? Phone us and we'll tell you how you can get Thetan free and then use that to start selling their religious wares. These people have absolutely no limit to how far they will go to push their cult onto other people. Now, after the 9/11, on CNN, there was a counseling hotline that showed up on the screen. A lot of people don't know that, but there was a counseling hotline that showed up on the screen, and that hotline went straight to Scientologists. CNN just ran it without checking anything, and sure as shit, that counseling hotline was a hotline sent up that went straight to the Scientologists to try to recruit more people. Very sick, very weird. Dear Sean, apparently there's a product which allows Wi-Fi admins. Oh, now this is a feedback. Sorry. A few days ago, I guess it was Wednesday's story about a Wi-Fi product that was the Watchdog, right? That allows people to find the exact physical locations of users on wireless networks. That was the story I ran. And I reported on it. It's called Watchdog 5.0. Reported on this the other day. But apparently I got this email here totally decrying what I said. Dear Sean, you said that this was a device that was out there. This is FUD. They are full of shit. The response is, I don't see why this wouldn't be possible with some extent of deepening on... Okay. The counter to this is if they cannot find you by Wi-Fi, they say, you would say, well, I don't see why this wouldn't be possible to some extent depending on a few factors. Well, currently cell phone companies can triangulate your position with a number of feet to where you are if you're in the range of three or more towers. Works pretty much the same way as a GPS by pinging the device to determine distance to the source. If the company had three or more access points and your client scans pings each of them, there is no reason why they shouldn't be able to find you with that information. However, if you have a brain in your head, you wouldn't have a problem getting around this. All you need is a non-auto-scanning Wi-Fi client and a Mac ID spoofer. This tech isn't going to be used to track intruders. They're going to use it to track employees. Ah, and that was sent to me via Rip Drive. So the other day when I was talking about Gatekeeper and la la la, I guess it's just another method of tracking where employees are in the building or what they are doing, because apparently this Watchdog doesn't have any teeth. So thank you very much. And if I do happen to, you know, spout out something that I'm completely wrong on, by all means, man, I am no authority. I'm simply a guy over here broadcasting my journey through the world we live in. So if you happen to know something that I don't, which I guarantee you do, you know, by all means, send it in. If I'm way off topic, man, you know, don't just leave me hanging out here. I mean, I got to know what the hell is going on. Another piece of feedback. Dear Sean Kennedy, in Book Death News, you asked about what we know about World War II besides the Holocaust. There are many of us out here who know a lot about it, actually, but I definitely understand where you're coming from on this one. Not only is it said that the Holocaust happened, but I find it even sadder that so many lies have been spread about it. For a long time, the world has had proof that the actual death count is very inaccurate. Many of the death camps were not death camps at all. Now, when you start talking about death camps, this is a fucked up thing. And I, you know, whenever you're on the internet, you got to, let me get through this email here. Does this excuse the atrocities of what happened at a few camps that actually did murder Jewish people? No, hell no. But what pisses me off is the media has upgraded the death toll and vilified the German people and their military. At the same time, it downplays the death of the Romani, the Gypsies, the gays, and other groups. What pisses me off is that many Jewish people I've known use the Holocaust as a crutch, pretty strong wording here, and feel the world owes them something. How many Irish died under the British rule in the last 800 years? How many Russians did Stalin kill? In voluntary chipping news, you spoke about the Japanese using phones to pay for the train. Not a new concept, apparently. They've been using their phones to pay for vending machines for a few years now. And that was from Angel 1942. Now, the scary thing here is, now this is kind of wild. Did you notice that the Jewish Holocaust, like actually saying, okay, can we get an accurate count here? Because you got these Ernst Zundel types, you know, these white supremacist dudes who are out there saying, you know, the Holocaust is a fake. You know what I mean? And, you know, whatever. So he was charged with hate crimes and all the rest of it. But if you do the research, the guy's like in solitary confinement now. He can't talk to anyone. Maybe it's for his protection. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But the thing that I find weird is, the actual thing that I find weird is that, you know, you're not even allowed to talk about the Holocaust at all. You know what I mean? You're allowed to talk about the Holocaust like, oh, you know, it's horrible and an atrocity and blah, 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 and yada, 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 6 million, 6 million, 6 million. But, you know, is there an actual, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. Do you know? Is there an actual accurate death count? You know, I mean, are we accurate within 1,000, within 100, within, you know, because there's millions of people killed. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's trunk loads of teeth and skin people. It's fucking horrific. Okay, and yeah, I think that we should never forget the Holocaust. Absolutely. I think that there should be more attention drawn to how the Holocaust happened and not just the fact that a bunch of innocent people got murdered. How did they get murdered? What were the steps that led up to the camps being built? What were those steps? What were the things that Hitler did to try to, drown the intellect of the nation of Germany? Because Germans are very clever people, okay? They're very, very bright people. They're engineers and everything. How did they get duped by this vegan schizoid psychopath motherfucker named Adolf Hitler? How did they all wind up throwing in with this crazy evil concept of white supremacy? How did they throw in with this crazy evil concept of Nazis? How did they do that? How did these perfectly good, gentle, loving German people get duped? How did they fall for that mind control? I'd like to know. I'd like to know. You know, you never hear about that. You never hear, conversely, you know, like everyone knows about the potato famine. Well, you know, a few people know about the potato famine. You know, it's where this huge potato famine apparently swept Ireland and like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of Irish people starved to death. Okay, it's fucking horrific. And that's why, you know, there was an Irish cop in every corner in New York and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but what a lot of people don't know is that the British at that time, nothing down on the Brits, but the Brits exported more food from Ireland during the potato famine than at any other time in history. So they took all the food out of Ireland, so the potato famine was largely a fucking myth. Yeah, there was a potato famine, but the fact is that the Brits took all the food out to try to starve out all the Irish, which is a really shitty score. A lot of people don't talk about that. It causes a lot of hatred. You're inciting hatred, John. No, I'm not, man. I'm just saying what happened, okay? And if you're going to look at something as absolutely horrific as the Second World War, I think that that should be taught in schools. We've got, it's probably one of the most well-documented wars in history. I mean, we got volumes of information about it. It was, you know, the Nazis are the perfect bad guys. Jesus, they even dressed in black and had little skull and crossbones on their collars, man. These guys were the epitome of evil, yet everyone, you know, no one, can you name, name any major SS players. Name any of them. When did the war start and finish? Let's try that one, you know? What were the major battles? What was the deciding battle of World War II? If you don't know any of this shit, you know, if you don't actually know, you need to educate yourself as to when did the Nazis come to power? How did the Nazis come to power? What's the Night of Long Knives? You know, like, what are these events that occurred? What is burning of the Reichstag? What is that? You know, how did that happen? If you don't know history, it's going to come around again. Because it'll come around again because you don't recognize it when it happens again. People who are in power will reach back and try to correct the mistakes the Nazis made in history so they can make this super powerful dominator culture. And that's what I think the Americans are doing right now, the American government is doing right now, is they're trying to get themselves whipped into this ugly tide of nationalism to declare war on the rest of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I love American people. I think they're beautiful people. But... we need to start getting things under control and taking back our minds. You know, line from Johnny Mnemonic there. Snatch your brain back, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it. Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean Kennedy, my name is blank. And I'm an Australian who is currently living in the UK. And I've been recently watching patrolling in SKTFM.TV on Winamp. And many times I hear you say that advertising will destroy us all. Recently, I've come across some information that may be of interest to you. The advertising companies are perfecting a new form of advertising. Say you walk into a jewelry store, hidden somewhere in the store will be a little box that sends out audio signals just outside the human hearing range, but which the subconscious will pick up. The box will transmit a voice saying things like, "Isn't that a lovely necklace?" or "Why don't you buy that ring for a loved one?" Because these messages are literally being sent into the subconscious, our brain responds to them much more willingly. What has this fucked up world come to? And that's from the Dog Boy. Well, I'm here to tell you, Dog Boy, you know, when you look at stuff like this, and you know, you've got other subliminals being published towards the mind and things like that. That book I just finished reading a while ago, I'm reading a good one right now. It's called you gotta know the name of the book. It's by the same guy who did On Killing. It's called On Combat, but the fiction novel I just finished is called Richard Morgan's Altered Carbon. And in there, he talks about this. He talks about how there's like shielding in cars and stuff like that to keep out subliminals. And that's what they call advertising now, is just subliminals. Now, we need to get... this is why, like, a couple days ago, I had the Conscious Warrior News. There's a whole tide of advertising which is going to the mind control phase. And it's something that we, as WOGs, we as people, we as concerned citizens, need to know about. Very, very scary stuff. Now, I got to sort yourself out today, and this one's pretty heartfelt, so here we go. Hey, Sean, I don't know if I should send this or not. Today, I feel dead inside. I know that drugs and herbal supplements won't change this particular feeling. I feel tired, apathetic. Right now, I just want to die. There's an old saying in the Bible, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. I generally associate truth with enlightenment, knowledge, wisdom. When I was younger, I would have moments of epiphany in which enlightenment hit me like a tidal wave. I would have great feelings of rapture because of my newfound enlightenment. The enlightenment enabled me to continue on. In the last few years, these epiphanatical waves of enlightenment make me weep. Rarely do tears find their way to the surface, but I'm quickly associating with the long-faced philosopher. A long time ago, a wise old man told me that a slave is a man who is waiting for a savior. I am a member of a generation following hundreds of other generations of slaves. But there's only one hope I see for the future, and that is the internet. In the afternow, your creation of the server monks, it gave me hope, courage. But now it seems like a fairy tale, something far off and transient. I can't speak for anyone but myself, but I need a savior. I believe that a man is just a man, but I also believe that every man has the potential to be something more. I don't want a new messiah, and I don't want to join a cult. I just want someone to tell me that everything will be okay. I want someone to tell me that things will work out for the better in the end, and that this endless stream of pointless suffering will indeed come to an end, and that I and my fellow man will one day realize freedom. Please, Sean, tell me it will be okay. And that's the sort yourself out for the day. Well, okay, I'll give it to you this way there, buds. A lot of people out there right now, depression is a huge, huge deal. Now, you want to ask yourself, there's one reoccurring letter in the English alphabet which I use more than any other, and that letter is Y. Why, why, why? Why do you feel dead inside, right? Why do you feel tired? Why do you feel apathetic? This is not your natural state, and this is true for everyone. Why do you feel tired? Why do you feel apathetic? Why do you feel like there's no hope for tomorrow, and you never used to feel like this? Why do you feel like this now? Now, there's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of shit happening with the news and bombs and all this kind of shit, la, 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 la. But you know what you can do? This is fantastic. All this news media, which you've got to realize, there's a lot of times they don't say certain things because it'll throw people into massive panic. You'll hear that a lot, eh? Why don't they release the knowledge of 20 nuclear weapons inside the United States? Well, because it would cause massive panic. Well, no. It's not because it'll cause massive panic. Okay, they don't give a shit. Everything is controlled panic. They're taking the news media and they're ramping it up to scare the living shit out of everybody. So we're going to allow, you know, the cops to roll tanks through the streets. You know what I mean? Now, I don't want to get all Alex Jones and get psycho-paranoid and claim that the beast is coming and all the rest of it. I don't know about that. And I sure as shit am not some kind of messiah who's going to save the world. That's not what's going to happen. I mean, of course, it could be argued that I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you this much. Yeah, there is a lot of crazy shit going on in the world, but you don't have to let it get to you. Now, that sounds fucked up, but how much, I mean, have terrorists bombed your house, you know what I mean? Is there a way that you can kind of unplug from it a little bit, take some pleasure, go for a walk, try to get some downtime, maybe escape into a book, escape into a movie, that kind of a thing. Get some fucking sleep. That'll probably help as well. We are so stressed out in our culture. It's amazing that there's not more people with the black shakes. Now, I'm on a recce unit here. I like to think of myself as a little bit further ahead than the average trend, you know? And I think that there's going to be a lot of suicides. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are losing hope in the future. Why? Well, we have the death of religion. That's a big part of it. Religion's on its way out. People who are educated are beginning to realize that, you know what? The earth was not made in 7 fucking days. And if we're going to get through this, we're not going to be waiting for some, you know, old dead Jew to show up who was nailed to a stick 2,000 years ago. It's not going to happen. Dude's not going to show. And we better fucking sort ourselves out, because unless we do, everything's really going to take a crap. Now, the thing is, when I say everything is going to take a crap, that doesn't mean the world's going to be destroyed. No, no, no. It just means things are going to get worse until we decide to make them better. Now, me personally, yeah, I want to do stuff to make shit better. I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot that's going to go forwards and change the world. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's the way it's always been. You know what I mean? You get all kinds of people decrying stuff you want to do. Like, everybody out there's got a dream. Everybody out there's got something they want to do. They want to build a flying car. They want to build a mecha. They want to do this, do that, do whatever. And they ask me permission on how to do it or why to do it or whatever. I can't tell you, man. You got to figure that shit out for yourself. You know what you got to do. If you want to build yourself a mecha, no fucking problem, man. Build the mecha. But we don't know how to build the mecha. Build it. Give it some thought. Draw it out on paper. Make sure that it's solid. Go check with some people in the physics department. Make sure that it's going to be solid and then start building. That's all there is to it. You want to write a book? Start writing. That's it. There's nothing more to it. Eventually, you'll have a book. Maybe it'll be a good book. Maybe it'll be a bad book. But at least at the end of it, you will have a fucking book. You see what I'm saying here? It's about action. If you feel helpless, then the core political has done their job. You are not helpless. You are arguably the most advanced life form the world has ever seen. You have access to technology never before paralleled in the history of the world. You have got access to knowledge unlike any civilization ever. And yet, throughout all of this, we feel apathy. We feel as though we have no power and no strength. And I ask you, why? Why do you feel that way? You feel that way because nobody is empowering you. Our school system is based on memorization. Okay? It's all about memorization. Nobody wants really creative people. There are more artistic people alive today than any other time in history. And you better fucking, oh God, I cannot wait until the artists realize that realistically, all art is just engineering without limits. Okay, that's exactly what it is. If you can dream it, you can build it. Take the concepts I'm making after now, add to them, build on them, make stuff. Yeah, I want to build a virtual world. Yeah, I want to wind up building myself a mecha and broadcasting from some weird location inside of cyberspace. Why? Because other people will go there. And when other people go there, their minds will be added to the greater equation. And once that happens, eventually a society will build. We can make our own tomorrow with each other. We don't need anyone's permission. We don't need anyone's rights. We don't need anyone's bullshit. We just need each other and the concept of unity. That is the key. Unity, unity, unity. If no one helps you, that's fine. Okay, that's fine if nobody helps you. But don't tear anybody else down. And for God's sakes, if you're one of these people who like, you know, throw rocks and, oh, what's this, what's that? You know, oh, I don't agree with this or that. That's fine. You don't agree. That's fine. But make sure you phrase it so that you're not robbing other people of their energy. Stop ripping each other to shreds in the forums. We have to get on the same side because it's the dominator model that's running the enemy. And unless we can use compassion on our fellow wogs, how the fuck can we have it for the rest of the world? You see what I'm saying? So yeah, you know what? It will be okay, and maybe it will get rough before it gets better, but eventually, the human race will determine, no, we've had enough. So hang on, man, hang on. If all you gotta do is last, and, you know, like they say in the song by KMFDM, if you stay stone cold, pretty soon your options will unfold. Now, let's get straight into some mind control news that was sent in by Dibbon. Never underestimate the short-sightedness of record executives, even at classical musical labels. Who do you think would be a bit more understanding about these things? Last month, the BBC got some attention for releasing for free downloads for just a period of time of all 9 of Beethoven's symphonies. I downloaded them, as did a million of other people, apparently. It was a nice gesture and probably introduced plenty of people to elements of classical music they had not experienced before. In fact, since they included an introductory explanation before each symphony, even those familiar with the music could learn something as well, adding to their overall appreciation of classical music. All of that, you think, should be applauded by the industry. At least it should help to drive more interest in the often ignored area of music world. Not so. Geek News Central points out that a classical record label execs are positively livid about such impudence, proving just how little he's thought about the issue. The head of one label explains, "There is an obvious issue that is devaluing its perceived value of music." This is what this guy is saying. Now, obviously, what he doesn't realize is that there's more, and you may not know this, but there's a lot more to classical music than just fucking Beethoven. And because people may realize, like, the best thing you should do is take all your top classical musical hits and put them all online, because the people in the classical record music stores, right, will wind up going out and the people will come in there and they'll buy classical music. If you haven't had a chance to go down to your local music store where they have a good classical music section, go in there and spend some time. Start with Baroque and go from there. That's what I say. Baroque music's amazing. It actually affects your mind. It allows you to learn more quickly. It's a very calming effect on you. This is why music, incidentally, I totally believe that due to the process of brain attunement, which is beyond our control, this is why music affects people, especially young people, so heavily. So if you're not feeling good and you're feeling bummed out, change your music up. You'd be surprised the effect it will have on you. And Dark Nature sent me some 9/11 news. Oh, two more World Trade Center workers have come forward with eyewitness testimony that a huge explosion ripped apart the lower level of the North Tower about the same time a jetliner rammed into the top floors. The pair not only reported hearing an underground blast, but both were injured, one suffering severe burns to the face, arms, and hands, and the other cuts and bruises after being trapped in a stalled basement elevator. Burn victim Philip David, employed by Aramark Company, and Salvador Gimbanco, a World Trade Center office painter trapped in a basement elevator, were both unavailable for comment, but made their explosive testimony never before released in America to a Colombian television station in 2002 on the first anniversary of 9/11. Their comments eventually aired in Colombia in Spanish and on the Red Continental Denuncias as part of an in-depth 9/11 documentary after foreign states spent a month in New York City in 2002 shooting the project. So it seems that there's yet more people saying that a bomb went off at the bottom of the World Trade Centers. And as well, you know, all you have to do is have some basic knowledge of physics and look at building history and how, you know, buildings fall and stuff. And how no concrete and steel structure has ever collapsed due to fire in the history of construction. You know, no one ever talks about that. But we, of course, today, we just kind of swallow blindly that there has been the 9/11 attacks. You know, we just kind of take that in like it's not a big deal. Oh, yeah, sure, you betcha. There's all kinds of stuff going on with 9/11. You know, never mind the fact that the company that actually created, trademarked, and copy, like, has copy protected their method of building demolition, which enables a building to be blown into small, like, 30-foot chunks, which is exactly how the World Trade Center fell apart and came down into little, easily transportable chunks. Never mind the fact that all the waste, where's the scraps of the World Trade Center? Oh, they're under lock and key. They're sealed under a cement cap. Nobody can get near them. Why? Because all we have to do is get some of the scraps from the basement of the World Trade Center. We will see that there is concussive explosive force marks all over the waste. Pull it out. Pull it out. Let's get some waste up here. See who built those explosions. Who put the bombs inside the towers, which killed thousands of people. If it was up to me, I'd hang them. More in pharma fascism uber spin from Dark Nature. Healthy people, including, well, you ready for this spin? This is great. This is from this article here. Healthy people, including children, might one day take drugs to boost their intelligence, scientists predict. The think tank Foresight. Now, the Foresight Institute is a big bunch of nanotech guys. Outlined the scenario in an independent report looking at potential developments over the next 20 years. Such cognitive enhancers could become common as coffee, they suggest. Now, that's probably true, but this article from, now, the Foresight Institute is a good bunch of guys. It's just that they're taking it and kind of spinning it so the drugs are fun. Scientists did not rule out children taking exams facing drug tests, as sportsmen do, to see if they have taken any performance-enhancing substances. These report was compiled by 50 experts who say their predictions are out for the next two decades. Well, you know, that's always good. We like to have, you know, lots of predictions up there to see what's going on. I don't know how I feel about kids taking drugs to enhance their cognitive abilities. I suppose that it's, I suppose it might be unavoidable because as a market, you know, if you have to have better and better grades, right, and school gets harder and harder so that we, you know, you have the best and the brightest getting the better and better grades, you know, eventually the competition will get so steep that, yeah, they're all going to be taking cognitive enhancers just to keep up. But I don't think kids should take cognitive enhancers. I think their brains should be allowed to develop naturally, and as you get older, then you should start adding the cognitive enhancers rather than trying to burn these kids out before they're 35. Your brain can only take so much. Remember that. Now, in core political shakeup news, listen to this one. How much airplay is this story getting? This one got sent to me by Drake. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff was announcing Wednesday a controversial plan to split the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, in half as part of a major restructuring of his department just over 2 years after it was first stood up in the largest and most complicated reorganization in the federal government for half a century. The long-awaited results of the so-called second stage review that Chertoff launched in March are being closely held. But United Press Internationals has spoken to several government officials present at briefings about Wednesday's rollout. All spoke on condition they would not be named or quoted directly, but their accounts of what Chertoff planned to announce tallied closely. The change that is likely to draw the most attention and the country braces itself for an annual hurricane season is the department's Emergency Preparedness and Response Directorate is being dismantled. Interesting. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency that currently makes up the bulk of the directorate, will return to being a standalone entity within the department, with a director rather than a current undersecretary reporting straight to Chertoff. But in a move that is likely to draw howls of protest from state and local emergency managers and FEMA's allies on Capitol Hill, the agency is being stripped of its preparedness functions to concentrate on what some in the department see as its core competencies: disaster response and recovery. Interesting. So FEMA's just going pure disaster response and recovery, apparently. It's going to be very difficult to argue the cases that it makes sense to split the preparedness and response, he said. One former FEMA official who asks for an anonymity because of the sensitivity of his current employer. It is difficult enough to plan major response to disasters with both of these functions are in one place. So what he's saying here is he doesn't like the idea of the whole thing being split apart. It's unclear how separating them will bring them into better sync, which obviously it will not. The former official said preparedness activities accounted for probably 25% of the FEMA's budget, but added that it did not reflect the extent of its activities. Preparedness is what you do all year round to get ready for the hurricane and fire seasons, the official said. It's a pretty substantial portion of the agency's work. Critics in the first responder emergency management communities also fret the restructurings will signal an end to the department's commitment to all hazards planning, the philosophy which sees preparation for terror attacks as a subset of a larger task of readying communities to respond to disasters of any kind. It's a long-standing concern, said one. Well, I like that idea, though. I like the idea of looking at any kind of a tragedy as a tragedy individual. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to isolate tragedies. There's no reason to say that, of course, a hurricane is a hurricane, and, you know, a bomb blast is a bomb blast, but there's still people injured. Everyone's got to be on the same team. We all have to have an emergency preparedness plan. You all got to know the drill. But apparently, I guess they're doing some kind of a shake-up with FEMA, so that's something we may want to watch, especially for all you Deuce X fans out there. Now, here's a great story, some core political dessert news from Thunderspud. The former WorldCom CEO, Bernard Ebert, has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for his part in the $11 billion accounting scandal that led to the largest U.S. corporate bankruptcy. Oh, 25 years in the ass slammer. Edmonton-born Ebers dabbed his eyes with a tissue as the sentence was handed down by Manhattan federal judge Barbara Jones. His wife cried softly. Well, yeah, I would be crying too. Ebers, who's 63, has asked for a sentence well below life in prison, citing a heart condition and a history of charitable works. More than 160 letters were sent to the judge in defense of Ebers. I find that a sentence of anything less would not reflect the seriousness of the crime, Judge Jones said. The judge has said she would consider the charity work, but did not believe his heart condition was serious enough to warrant a lesser sentence. However, she rejected arguments by defense lawyers that Ebers was not the mastermind of the accounting fraud, $11 billion. Ebers was clearly a leader of criminal activity in this case, the judge said. Ebers has been ordered to report to prison on October 12th. Jones said she would recommend he serve his time at a federal prison in Yazoo City, Mississauga, close to his home. Defense lawyers are being allowed to submit written arguments to the judge whether Ebert should remain free while he appeals the verdict. This has been a devastating week for Ebers. On Tuesday, Jones denied his request for a new trial. Well, if I was Ebers, I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to predict that Ebers is going to run. I don't think the guy is going to stick around. He's going to fucking vanish. You know, seriously, if he's not in jail and he knows he's going up for 25 years and you're 63 years old, dude, he's going to rabbit. Okay, he's probably got a fucking hockey sock full of cash. He's going to fuck off to Thailand or Cambodia or whatever. He's going to go somewhere, hide out, and that's going to be it for him. He'll just leave to go to some place where there's no extradition laws, and that'll be it for him. Ta-da! So we'll see if that prediction comes to pass. Now, in nuke war news, this was sent in by Leviathan, and I've heard some buzz about this on the wire. As London recovers, this is a kind of a weird story, so don't go freaking out over this one, because this one's a little bizarre. But, like, you know, as London recovers from its latest deadly al-Qaeda attack that killed at least 50, top U.S. government officials are contemplating what they consider to be an inevitable and much bigger assault on America. One likely to kill millions, destroy the economy, and fundamentally alter the course of history. That's a pretty big statement. According to a captured al-Qaeda leaders and documents, the plan is called the American Hiroshima and involves multiple detonations of nuclear weapons already smuggled into the United States over the Mexican border with the help of the MS-13 street gang and other organized crime groups. This is that same group that I was talking about before. Al-Qaeda has obtained at least 40 nuclear weapons from the former Soviet Union, including suitcase nukes, nuclear mines, artillery shells, and even some missile warheads. In addition, the documents captured in Afghanistan show Al-Qaeda has had plans to assemble its own nuclear weapons with fissile material purchased on the black market. In addition to detonating its own nuclear weapons already planted in the U.S., military sources also say there is evidence to suggest Al-Qaeda is paying former Russian Special Forces Spetsnaz to assist the terrorist group in locating nuclear weapons formerly concealed inside the U.S. by the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Now, I didn't know this. Osama bin Laden's group is also paying nuclear scientists from Russia and Pakistan to maintain its existing nuclear arsenal and assemble additional weapons from the materials it has invested hundreds of millions in procuring over a period of 10 years. Now, on this story, this is a bizarre fucking story. Go check it out. Now, if this is true, all right, so say we got, let's go high. Let's say, you know, the Russians got 40. So we got 80 nukes inside America. I don't think they would be that hard to find. Even if you put them inside of, like, you know, radiation leak-proof cases so it couldn't show up with Geiger counters or nothing like that, I don't think they'd be that hard to find, because you got to think, right? Think like a gamer now. Think like a gamer, okay? If you've got a nuke, where do you put it so that you can do the most damage? What buildings would it be in? What times would you want them to go off, especially if it was a synchronized blast? Where would you want these nukes to go off? Would they be on bridges? Would they be in train stations? Would they be in skyscrapers? Would it be an airburst? What nukes do the most damage? Is it an airburst or a groundburst? Would it be on top of a skyscraper? Very possible. Airbursts do a shitload of damage. Where would they put the nukes? Now, there's a lot of people all over America and all over the cities of the world who listen to this program. And there's a lot of guys who are into urban exploration. Wouldn't it be sexy if a WOG discovered where one of these little gold mines was planted, eh? Wouldn't that just be the shit to find out where one of these things were? I mean, and then, of course, the question is, do you report it or do you keep it so that, you know, the WOGs become nuclear capable? That's the other idea. But personally, I'm as power mad as the next guy. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I should not be nuclear capable. Sean Kennedy should never, ever, 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 ever be nuclear capable. Because I'd probably get excited at some point, and thinking it was probably the best idea ever, I'd probably use the goddamn bomb on somebody. But, you know, this is why I am a lowly news reporter and not, you know, any kind of a, you know, world government type. Which, you know, you got to admit would make for some interesting policy. But in any case, if you are about and around, you know, there's a lot of people, maybe most people be like, I don't know where it would be. But if you've ever got an idea, you know what I'm saying here, eh? You look up and you think, geez, you know, I know where there's some access tunnels where, you know, not many people know where there's access tunnels. I know where there's some access tunnels that aren't on maps that go to major public structures. Maybe you should go check that out. Just do a little clean sweep. And if you find anything, for God's sakes, tell me, okay? Make sure you tell the government, tell the NSA, phone the fucking FBI. They'll be real interested in you. You know what I mean? Plus, you get your face on CNN. It'll be nice. You can plug the program if you want. That'd be fun. You know, definitely get the WOG thing going on. But I really think that it is up to all of us. If there are, you know, a bunch of nukes floating around the states, they're going to be in major population-dense areas. So where would they be? I think that these are possible to be found. Now, the flip side to this is if you don't find them, And let's say, you know, again, they decide that Operation American Hiroshima goes off without a hitch. Bang, you know, we're going to thump off, America. Well, the next thing that's going to happen is Mecca is going to get nuked, all right? Because they've already said they're going to nuke Mecca and a couple other holy sites if a bunch of nukes go off in America, which I think is probably not so bad, you know? I mean, it's unfortunate that we'll kill millions and millions of people, and I would do anything within my power, including commit suicide, in order to prevent millions of innocent people from dying. That would be the least I could do. However, looking at the silver lining, at least at this stage, we will ditch all the religious fundamentalism and see it for the danger that it really is, because I'd like it to not take the deaths of millions of innocent people to realize that religion is a bad idea, or at the very least, the separation of church and state is a good idea. Don't ever think that I don't think you should believe what you want. You know, if you want to be, you know, you want to worship rocks, you go right ahead. You want to worship dead Jews on sticks, you go right ahead. You know, you go to fill your boots. You want to pray to crystals and moldavite and magic rocks and, you know, God knows what else. Rock on. You want a Hindu god pantheon? Rock on. You know, Buddha, little fat dude smoking weed? Fine. Not a problem. Fill your boots. But don't tell me that I can't research science because you don't happen to agree with it because of your weird mud hut religious principles. Don't tell me that you're going to declare war on my entire nation and punish me because I don't worship your God. That's fucked up, okay? So this whole convert or die mentality thing, no, that's fucking not on. And it's not on for us, it's not on for them, it's not on for anybody. But something that is on is nanotech. Nanotech's very fucking on. Wolf Inspector sent me a killer article on working with platinum nanowires. Working with platinum nanowires 100 times thinner than a human hair, and using blood vessels as conduits to guide the wires, creepy, a team of U.S. and Japanese researchers has demonstrated a technique that may one day allow doctors to monitor individual brain cells and provide new treatments for neurological diseases such as Parkinson's. You know, yes, it's sexy they could treat Parkinson's, but I'm real curious about how we can boost the brain. Writing in July 5, 2005, online issue of the Journal of Nanoparticle Research, the research has explained it is becoming feasible to create nanowires far thinner than even the tiniest capillary vessels. That means nanowires could, in principle, be threaded through the circulatory system. If you imagine this, so you got blood and wires going through all your veins at to any point in the body without blocking the normal flow of blood or interfering with the exchange of glass and of gases and nutrients through the blood vessel walls. The team describes a proof-of-principle experiment in which they first guided platinum nanowires into a vascular system of tissue samples and then successfully used the wires to detect the activity of individual neurons lying adjacent to the blood vessels. Now, so if you can imagine this, think of like this little thing of hairs that kind of slips into your body and fills out and monitors all of your wiring in your body. It's kind of creepy. The whole concept, I think, is sort of cool. But what I'd like to see is this is how I think we're actually going to wind up downloading our consciousness. We're going to wire ourselves up. You know, it'll take like a long time, probably take a few days. Have like some weird backpack thing that runs wires through your entire body so that it can do like an electromagnetical capture. Is that a real word? Electromagnetical? Magnetical? I don't think that's a real word. But you would be able to capture and record the consciousness like bioelectrical currents of the body, including the mind, of course. And only through a complete snapshot like that would you be able to get an actual consciousness recording. Now, would that be a clone or a duplicate? Well, in that case, it would be a duplicate. Unless you started to replace existing neurons and augment existing neurons with new neurons, in that case, you as a human being evolve into a machine. And this is a really way out there concept. But I think that it is, that's probably the closest thing we're going to get to immortality in this lifetime. And you can fucking well bank that I'm going to be taking a good chunk of all my book sales and all my profits that I make, all my hordes of profits, the piles of money I got lying around, and that I'm going to make when the rest of my life, oh my God, I'm going to live in a cardboard box. But seriously, if it was up to me, I would have like a very serious chunk of change that I will save for the next 50 years. So that when I'm just about ready to check out around the 65 mark, you know, that's when you're going to see yours truly start seriously hooking his ass up to machines so that I don't have to die. Thank you so much. And Truman sent me in some Matrix news. Remember the Matrix? Not the movie, the big scary program. When the federal government in April, I talked about this, stopped funding a database that lets police quickly see public records and commercially collected information from Americans, privacy advocates celebrated what they saw as a victory against the overzealousness in the fight against terrorism. But few states are pressing forward with a similar system, continuing to look for ways to quickly search through troves of data from driver's license photos to phone numbers of information about people's cars. There are arguments seeking to keep the Matrix database alive in some form. It's too important for solving crimes to give up on it. Florida, Ohio, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. Those are your Matrix states. They still use software that lets investigators quickly cut through much of the data about people that reside in cyberspace. However, without the federal grant on Matrix data sharing system, they won't be routinely searching through the digital files from other states, at least not for now. So be advised that if you happen to live in Florida, Ohio, Connecticut, or Pennsylvania, you still got the Matrix hanging out around your neck down there, guys. So bear that in mind. And in a story which I'm sure you've heard about that Bland sent to me, it took almost 2 years, but major record labels in Australia finally won a legal battle against a Queensland man and his internet service provider for alleged music piracy. Listen to this one. Stephen Cooper, an operator for MP3s for Free website, was found guilty of copyright infringement by federal court justice Brian Tamberlin. Although Cooper didn't host pirated recordings per se, the court found that he breached the law by creating hyperlinks to sites that had infringed on sound recordings. The guy is guilty of hyperlinking. This is the first such judgment against hyperlinking in Australia. That is fucking terrifying to me. That is one of the scariest goddamn news stories I've seen in a long time. The fact that they've come out and made it illegal to hyperlink? Oh my God. It's time for all of you out there. Hey, dual parallel. You listening, buddy? Man, we need to make sure we start setting up our own internet so that we can, you know, maybe get the Tor things going. Same goes for you guys, Bland. I mean, all the guys at 2600 downloading, listening to the show, all the dudes out there who, you know, really do have the ability to make a difference on a technological angle. I'm not talking about your 14, 15-year-old kids just trying to learn, just trying to keep up, just trying to get all the data into their heads. I'm talking about the guys in the game. Okay, I know there's a lot of guys in the game who are listening to this program. If you're listening to this program and you know who you are, okay, now is the time that we need to start thinking about what we're going to do. This is one of these concepts. That's why, you know, the other day I'm talking about my business plan and shit like that, setting up funding for NPOs and stuff. This is one of the reasons why I want to do this. I want to set up cyberspace. I do. Fuck it. Yeah, I'll come out and say it. Why not? People are like, Sean, everybody's tried that. Fuck you. I haven't tried it. And I've got an ability to do things that a lot of people haven't been able to pull off. So you know what? Yeah, maybe it might take me 25 years. Maybe I'll never pull it off. Maybe it's another crack dream. Who fucking knows? But there has to be the desire. Everybody has to start thinking. We have to start thinking ahead of the ball here. Because obviously, if they're starting to get judgment passed saying that hyperlinking is illegal, that is the first stab in the death of 10,000 needles, man. You got to think about this. This is a really disturbing story. Hopefully, this will get appealed, and maybe we'll be able to get past this. Now, in Cut the Pace news, listen to this one. A high-tech conference bristling with bloggers constantly checking messages on BlackBerry smartphones, laptops, and other handheld computers. It is odd to hear someone speaking about an email-free day. But journalist Carl Hunnery told attendees of the TED conference in Oxford they should unplug and slow down in a world that was stuck in fast forward. Now, this is the same thing as what I said for the Sort Yourself Out section of the show. And for a wired world accustomed for not haring for nearly having unlimited information and the boundless choice of online shopping, it seems almost heretical to suggest the infinite possibilities of modern world leave us less satisfied instead of more satisfied, but it's true. The author, Barry Sherowitz, told the conference that it was better when we had only a few choices of salad dressing instead of the 175 at his local supermarket. These were just some of the suggestions the audience at TED in their search had. These are some of the suggestions to the audience at TED in their search for the good life. Now, the good life, what is the good life? The good life is being content. It is pursuit of happiness. You know, And this is why I often think that why people, you know, we're just constantly spending. Nobody wants to make us content. Nobody wants us to be happy. They want us to constantly be searching so they can drive the market. Yet another reason why weed is illegal. Now, I got an organic victory here. It's not much of one, but this is kind of a big one. A demonstration of the growing popularity of and ongoing opportunities for organic ingredients. The successful Swedish retailer IKEA, everybody knows these guys, said it will replace standard foods with organic varieties. This means that in all their stores and all that, they're starting to just sell organic food at IKEA. Now, regardless of whether or not you agree with IKEA's principles, and I'm sure they do lots of evil stuff, this is a good thing. Because hopefully this will set an example. IKEA is an industry leader, and hopefully other people will follow that. So check out Organic Victory News. Got some daily hacks today. We got some recommended reading from Secrecy News. The nature of the foreign intelligence threat to the United States is characterized in a recent intelligence threat handbook prepared for the government's interagency OPSEC support staff. And I've got that PDF for you on today's daily hack. And as well, thanks to Shai Halud for his zero-day wares, this site provides information and links to the BBC open-source projects. It lists projects developed by the BBC where source code has been released as open-source. The site doesn't cover the many open-source projects to which the BBC has contributed, but only those the BBC has initiated and managed itself. As well, that OPSEC, the Intelligence Threat Handbook, I got that from Secrecy News. So make sure that you click on the Secrecy News link. Subscribe to that email. That's one of the newsletters that I subscribe to. Check that guy out, because that guy's really... Stephen Aftergood is his name, and he's got his shit sorted out. Very solid guy. Always got bleeding-edge stuff. Very, very sharp. I think it was Pig Monkey who first turned me on to him. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And they are 4Elite, WebLife, Alan, Druid Y. Simmeru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noob, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers for June 2005 are Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. As well, if I wind up making really big money, here's a question you want to ask yourself. Email me the answer. Let's say Sean Kennedy, right? I get featured on Fox or something like that, and I wind up getting like a ton of new subscribers. What do you suppose I'm going to do with the money? What do you think I'd do? Honest to God, I got like 1,000 hours of media online. People know pretty much, they can pretty much get a profile of the kind of person I am. I do this an hour a day. I mean, I'm online a lot. I am pretty fucking hooked into the web here from a profiling standpoint. So if I had a shitload of money, I'd be interested to know what you guys think I'd do with it. But that's all I got for you today. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks again for everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at ranradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Fairlight Children, 808-Bit. I'm going to leave you now with a track called Super Zen State by my new, like, favorite band in the universe, the Emergency Broadcast Network. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Christmas is next week.